You may know, in there's a Chinese story of this Chinese philosopher. You may have heard. He said that, what did he say? That I went to sleep and what? I dreamt that I was a butterfly. And when I woke up, I was wondering whether I am a butterfly that is dreaming about me being a man, or was a man was seeing it as a myself, you know, butterfly. So what is reality? How do we really know right at this stage that we're not dreaming? Because in the dream stage, it appears just as real. We wake up and say dream was illusion, and this is real. We feel this way that I can see, I can touch. Well, you do the same in this dream too. So, what is a reality, and it has a lot to do with our perception. And what we see has to do not only with the outer world, but with the inner world. Point is, there is no outer world without the real inner world. There is no nothing outside existing without an appropriate insight for outside to exist. Outside cannot exist without that insight projecting it that way. So outer reality is not just an independent phenomena. That outer reality doesn't exist without our internal reality. And we create that outer reality. So this is a process of perception when the mind interfaces with the through the body to the outside world. That's perception of the outer world into the inner world. In meditation, the perception is purely internal. Mind is purely internally perceiving its goal. And the goal of meditation is consciousness, spirit. Just as I see the external toy and perceive it externally, internally I can meditate. And when I meditate with certain ideation, that my soul, my spirit is one with the cosmic spirit. This is the mantra. When we meditate with that mantra, exactly same thing happens. Our inner being gets transformed. It has to. Just as for me to be able to see this green toy internally, my mind had to become that toy. It is in the same way when you meditate, close your eye, and ideate upon the mantra, then your mantra, your mind actually takes the shape of the meaning of the mantra. And as a result, you identify and you actually become that. You actually, for that time, you become that. Now, when you come out of the meditation, you kind of lost that. And to the extent, in how much do you become that? To what extent you become cosmic spirit? It has to do with your force. How much force did you apply to it? That force has to do with your concentration. How strongly and how in a concentrated way were you able to ideate? Suppose you have a piece of rubber, you pull it. And while you're holding it, it's expanded. When you let go, it goes back to its normal state. But it stretches out a little bit. It doesn't go all the way back. How much does it stretch out? Depends on how far you stretched in the first place. Right? Same way, meditation constantly stretches your mind in the direction of the spirit because you're stretching it toward the spirit. When you deal with the outer world, what happens? Your mind becomes the outer objects. It becomes the cruder objects. When I say something crude and subtle, it is a relative term. I say that our outer world is crude because development of consciousness is minimal in the non-living object. It's not much development of consciousness. Of course, mind, body, and spirit exist everywhere, but mind has almost no role in a non-living object, right? So, okay, so the point is that the perception, meditation is a perception, just as you perceive outer things. Similarly, you perceive inner thing, and that's meditation. It's called, when you perceive something from outer world, we call that tanmatra. There's another word in Sanskrit, you will see tanmatra. Tanmatra is a subtle energy by which we perceive something. So, for example, we have the sight tanmatra, we have a sound tanmatra, we have touch tanmatra. We have five sensory organs, and we acquire the tanmatra from those sensory organs of the outer world, and we create the outer world inside of us by acquiring tanmatra through the gateway. These are called gateways. This is not an eye. This is a gateway. This is not an ear. This is a gateway. The eye and ear are actually a particular point on the brain or location on the brain which is able to actually associate with the mind to visualize something or to hear something or to feel something, touch something. So, tanmatra is a subtle energy by which, waves of energy by which we acquire the knowledge of the outer world, and mind becomes that object. Majority of our life we spend in this type of perception. We call that what? Our conscious mind. We say we are operating with under our conscious mind. Our conscious mind is 90% of the time working with the outer world, right? But when we meditate, we're using our conscious mind to direct itself to the subconscious mind and to the higher mind, to the superconscious mind. So meditation is, in that sense, like a reverse journey, going back to the spirit rather than going to the outer object. Now, to give a better understanding about the interrelationship of mind, body, and consciousness, you can think of it in this way. Before I say that though, we all have our mind, which are very different. We all have our mind, as I said in the beginning, has different propensity, different karmic history. All of us have performed different karma in the past. Not only this life, but thousands of life before that, we have a different karmic history. And I briefly talked about the sanskara when you came to my house. And all that karmic history has produced certain history of sanskara. Right? So different history of sanskara has created different images, different vibrations of the mind. So everybody has a different vibration of the mind as a representation of the sum total of their karmic history of the past. As a result, everybody feels that our minds are different. Everybody has a different mind. Now, when we meditate, we say we are one. We are one with one spirit. We are looking at that one spirit. All of us, through our different mind, are visualizing one cosmic spirit. And we are trying to be one. All of us, although we all have a different mind, different perception, different history, different sanskara, different vibration, different body, different vibrations of the mind and body, and with all its conflicts and everything else, we are still focusing on that one entity, to become one with that. So what happens is there is another entity here also that we haven't talked, and that is cosmic consciousness. We talked about the body, mind, and unit consciousness. Now, where does a cosmic consciousness, how does it fit into this equation? Cosmic consciousness. Commonly, cosmic consciousness, common word we use is God, basically. And purpose of meditation is for us to be one in God, to be one in the cosmic spirit. This is the goal. So, what is the relationship between the cosmic spirit and unit spirit? Cosmic consciousness and unit consciousness. The relationship is this. Cosmic consciousness, think upon it as a sum total of the whole universe. Not just universe, but infinite universes. Sum total of the entirety. Existing together as a one controlling consciousness. That's cosmic consciousness. How is it like? It's like this. Look, your body is composed of millions and millions of cells, right? Millions of cells. Each one of those cells has its own mind. And each mind of that little cell is controlling that one little cell, but it doesn't control the next cell. There's nothing there, you know? They are all existing. And, but this, your whole body together has a one mind, one macrocosmic mind, and that mind controls all the cells of the body. Okay? There's one mind that controls, right? It's like gravitation, right? Everything, you can visualize existence of a body at a particular point. If you study physics, right, you can calculate the gravitational force of an object. An object is, suppose, a massive object, right? But to calculate the gravitational force, what do? You find point of gravity. Okay, we call that center of gravity of the object. And you can look upon the entire mass being concentrated at that point. Same way, cosmic consciousness is like that. It's like center of consciousness of the whole entirety, focused. This cosmic consciousness reflects upon each entity, each mind. And reflection of this cosmic spirit on each mind, that is called unit consciousness, or spirit, or atma, or cognitive faculty. Okay? So, unit consciousness or the spirit is reflection of the cosmic consciousness on the unit mind, on the individual mind. And remember, I said earlier that everybody has his own mind based on their own sanskara, right? And so, therefore, this cosmic spirit reflects on each mind, although the cosmic spirit is same, but because reflecting plate is a little different. So it appears that everybody has his own spirit, own consciousness. Kennedy has his own consciousness. Ben has his own consciousness. Angela, Saril, everybody has their own consciousness. Appears that they are different. Because what is really different? What is different is mind. Mind is different. Why the mind is different? Because the karmic history is different. Because the karmic history is different, mind and its vibrations are different. And because of that, when cosmic spirit reflects on that mind, it appears That inner spirit is different for individual. But the fact is, inner spirit is all one. And meditation is an effort to realize that these apparently different spirits, different consciousness, they are not different, they are all one. An apparent difference that we see is the result of the unit mind being different, which is the result of the karmic history. So, what happens as you meditate is karmic history gets cleared. And if you can imagine that if you have the same karmic history, then you become that person. Baba showed this through a demonstration. If you have two people, if you put the same mind between two people, then two people will not be able to live separately. They will want to become in one body. They will rush toward each other, embrace, and wanting to be in one body, cannot live in a separate body. Okay? So when you meditate, what happens is that the sanskaras and the mind gradually changes and acquires the quality of one spirit, because you're meditating on the one spirit and you become what you meditate upon. So as you meditate, you acquire the characteristic of cosmic consciousness, and as a result you become like cosmic consciousness, which means then you become cosmic entity. So this is explained by another example. Suppose you have a mirror in front of you, and suppose you have five different mirrors, and you put one flower in front of that mirror. Now imagine that all these five mirrors, they have some imperfections in it. Say one of them has a crack in it, say another one has a black kind of spot on it, suppose third one has a kind of yellow oil spot on it, suppose something is kind of like an opaque. So if you can imagine five different mirrors with five different types of imperfections, and then you put one flower in front of that, you will see five different images, and all five images will appear different because of the different types of imperfections that are in the mirror. So here the mirror is like your mind, and imperfections in the mirror are like your what? Sanskaras. Everybody has a different sanskar. And as a result, although the flower, which is a cosmic consciousness, is one and the same, it reflection, which is the unit spirit, when the flower is reflected into the mirror, that is like your unit consciousness. The mirror is like your mind, and the oil spot is your sanskara. Because of your sanskara, the image of the flower appears different than the real flower. There's nothing wrong with the mirror, there's nothing wrong with the image. There's all that is a sanskara. And meditation then, therefore, is a process of cleaning the sanskara. As the sanskaras are cleaned, the image becomes clearer, and perfection results as because of that. So that's why in meditation, there may be different mantras people may have, but all mantras are relating to this thing. I am one with that cosmic entity. Right? So this is what the meditation is. This is the role of mind, body, and consciousness in the meditation. And, you know, as we will talk in the future lessons, that depending on what your object of meditation is, depending on your level of concentration, you can experience different types of, it's called samadhi. Samadhi means absorption or suspension of the mind. Suspension of the mind into the object of ideation, that is samadhi. whatever you meditate on, your mind will eventually suspend itself into that. So if you want to really listen to music, what? You have to become a music. You want to create an art, you have to become an art. You want to be an actor, you have to assume the character that you are acting upon, right? You have to acquire that, to be that. And depending on your level of concentration, we'll talk about it in the next classes, you acquire different experiences, different levels of samadhi. And that all has to do with the, how the kundalini and everything rises, and to which chakra it reaches, and what is your point of concentration. All these things affect the type of suspension of the mind that results. But this is meditation. Now then you can go deeper into how you meditate. What's the object? What is the purpose? How I reach there? What are the problems on the way? What are the obstacles? And why these obstacles are there? You see? That's why when you start meditating, people always say, "Oh, I can't meditate. I can't concentrate. You see, the moment I sit down, I get so much disturbance." Well, of course. Of course. What do you expect? Right? We just said in this class today that, 80% of the time your mind is going outwardly. Now you're taking the same mind to take a totally different direction. And you have all those images and impressions that are stored in your citta. And now you close your mind. You think because you close your mind, you're not seeing all these things? No. All those guys start popping out like crazy. They are much more quiet right now, but you close your eyes. Gonna start popping from every direction. A friend you hadn't seen for 10 years, and you'd never think about it. You close your eye and he's gonna pop out of there. Because the moment you close the eye, all this new energy bombardment stops, and everything from inside. So it's expected that it would do that. That's why we do kirtan. Kirtan helps to calm those waves down so that the waves of meditation can have a chance to survive. You're giving it an edge by doing meditation and music. And that's what the role they play, you know? So I think that's pretty much it. As far as the main points are concerned, there's much more to be said, but I think some important points I made about meditation today, no? Are there any questions?
No, not really. I mean, I guess my only moment question would be, how to focus on the body properly, I guess with food and things like that, but I guess I'm more concerned with the asanas and making sure that I'm doing the right things to have the process go correctly.
Yeah, we'll be talking about all those things. That will, when we start talking about the actual processes, now you understand what meditation is about. This is the point and the role of mind, body, and spirit. What you're doing, you should have a base, and that's what I'm giving right now. When, we're going to go into the mechanism of meditation, where you're talking about where to concentrate and all of those things. So I will go into that mechanism. What are the chakras, how to meditate, what the shape are, and how to guide the mind through these energy centers, right? All of that. But before you do that, you have to be very clear about this, that this is what's going on when you meditate. This is the goal of meditation. This is all very, very important. It's a first class, but it's very important because it doesn't matter. As you proceed forward in meditation, you may start receiving some experiences. You might start having some occult experiences, for example. And you may wonder, well, thoughts. And I've had people tell me that. And I said, don't worry about it, because know what the goal is. We talked about it in the very first class. You know, what all those occult experiences are, they are not the goal. The goal is cosmic consciousness. And that's what you're meditating for. And as you go along the path, all these things are going to come. But that should not be distracting you, because now you know what the goal is and what you're doing and why you're doing and why the obstacles are coming on the way. Today, that's very important to understand.